Hey everyone, welcome to a special whiteboard edition of the Spirit of Prophecy podcast. By request, I'm making a video today explaining the post-trib, pre-wrath position, and I am specifically doing an explanation that is geared towards pre-tribbers, dispensational pre-tribbers. They have their own special lingo that they use when it comes to end time events, and so do post-tribbers. We have non-dispensational post-tribbers. We have our language, we have our terminology, and because we use a lot of the same words but use those words differently, sometimes there's a disconnect and people honestly misunderstand what we are teaching. Some people out there, I'm pretty sure they do understand and they're just strawmanning us or misrepresenting us, but I'm going to assume anybody watching this is honest, and I know many of you are well aware of what people like me teach and what we believe, but many are not. There is some confusion, and so I want to clear that up today. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to start out by basically showing the language of the pre-tribber, the language of the dispensationalist, and then I want to try to help you understand our language. We're going to do some theological translation, I guess you could say, because again, we use some of the same words, but we don't use them in the same way. And often when people hear people like myself say that they are post-trib, a lot of pre-tribbers get the wrong idea. And I want to help you get the right idea. I'm not going to spend a ton of time proving the post-trib, pre-wrath, or debunking the pre-trib. I mainly just want to make it clear what the position actually is and hopefully help you understand our language and where we are coming from. And then, if you feel like you can debunk it, go for it. But I'm not impressed with people debunking straw men or debunking something that literally nobody believes. That just makes you look bad when you do that and you're trying to dodge the actual belief system, because to me, you can't debunk it. If you are right and if you are honest, you're going to want to know this because you're going to want to make sure you get this right. So, right, what I have right here, this is for pre-tribbers, and in the pre-trib world, you all believe that the seals, the trumpets, and the vials, all of those things that we see associated in Revelation after chapter 4, that's all God's wrath. We are out of here before that. The rapture is over here, and then we get caught up, and then the seals start being broken. And these are the, people will refer to them as the seven seal judgments, which is interesting. We'll see, talk about that in a little bit. The seven trumpet judgments, and then the seven vial judgments. And according to Larkin, and I know there's variation amongst the pre-trib world, but in Larkin's charts, what he has, he's got the seals, the trumpets, and then in the middle of Daniel's 70th week, in the middle of the 7 years, he has the abomination of desolation, and then the seven vials, and then after that, of course, we have Armageddon, and then Jesus coming in the clouds in Revelation 19. And for the most part, I think that's a pretty good representation of what pre-tribbers believe. They will talk about the 3.5 year tribulation, and then the 3.5 year great tribulation. Those are all terms that you will hear from pre-tribbers: rapture of the church, seals, trumpets, abomination of desolation, vials, Armageddon, and then the second coming of Christ with his saints at Armageddon. So I think that sums that up pretty good. Now, when it comes to the post-trib pre-wrath world, okay, a lot of times pre-tribbers assume we define things the same way they do. So when they hear post-trib, in their brain, they think we're saying we're going out after all of this. They believe we're going out of here at Armageddon. And I've heard many pre-tribbers like, man, them post-tribbers, they think we're going to go right, get caught up in heaven, just come right back down. I mean, why is God even preparing us a place in heaven, you know, if we're just not even going to spend any time there at all? You know, and they'll make arguments like that, and everybody thinks, wow, those post-tribbers are stupid. And yeah, we would be if that's what we believe. The problem is that's not what we believe. And if you want to just continue misrepresenting to try to make us look bad, go right ahead. It actually makes your side look bad, and I've got everything to gain by that. But I also don't think I have anything to lose by you being honest either, because I think that we're right. So, no, we do not believe we're going out after the vials. And I'll show you what we actually believe. And so let me flip this over. So again, in the pre-trib, this is the pre-trib, you've got the rapture, seals, trumpets, vials, Armageddon, and then the second coming of Christ. Now, so for post-tribbers, okay, let me show what post-tribbers actually believe. Because the reality is, as post-tribbers, we don't believe we're here for the trumpets and vials. I've listened to pre-tribbers get up, and they're showing all the stuff that's going on with the trumpets and vials. It's like, you know, them post-tribbers teach you're going to be here for that. They teach that God's going to be slapping his bride around. They're teaching that God's, that you're appointed to wrath. Well, no, we're not. That's not what we teach at all. Post-trib, pre-wrath people do not believe we're here for the trumpets and vials. Now, there are, again, there's variations within our crowd. There are some who believe that we go out at the seventh trumpet, and then after that, the vials. That is not my position. I'm not going to go into detail on that, but yeah, there are variations within our crowd too. But in the post-trib world, we believe that the seals come first. See, now in the post-trib or the pre-trib world, you all refer to these things as the seven seal judgments, and that's literally written on some of your charts. The seven seal judgments, the seven trumpet judgments, the seven vial judgments. I'll talk about the 21 judgments or the 28 judgments because we've got the seven thunders too, but nobody really knows what those are. That's the terms that they'll use. In the post-trib world, again, we try to be more biblical in our use of Bible terms, and we try to use them the way the Bible does. And when we're going through the seals, where we see the rise of the Antichrist, we see the wars, famines, pestilence, we would not say that those things are God's wrath. The martyrs in the fifth seal, we would not say that's God's wrath because there's been martyrs throughout church history, and that wasn't God pouring his wrath out on them. That was God's people going through tribulation. In fact, one of the reasons I will not call these seal judgments is because in the fifth seal, the souls of the martyrs are saying, "How long, O Lord, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood?" And so it appears God's not judging the world with those seals. No, these are man-made events that are taking place. And what I believe is that these are the signs of what's going to take place before the Lord's return. Now, what pre-tribbers, when they're reading Revelation, they see the rapture in chapter 4, where John is caught up in the Spirit, and they say, that's the rapture right there. Everything after that's God's wrath. We're not here for any of it. Well, that's not what we see. In the pre-wrath world, we see John, one person being caught up in the Spirit, so he could be shown what will be hereafter. And so he can write these things and give those things that are going to be hereafter to the seven churches that are in Asia Minor. And so in those, after those seals take place, after Jesus breaks the seventh seal, we have a book that's sealed with seven seals. What happens when the seventh seal's open? Well, the book's open. And I believe inside that book, we're not seeing seven trumpet judgments and seven vial judgments, but he hears and sees seven trumpets, and those trumpets are showing him God's wrath. They're revealing God's wrath. When we get to the vials, it is revealing another layer of God's wrath. So what we're seeing is what we're seeing, what John is seeing, and we're seeing it in the order that he saw it. Not even necessarily the order it's going to happen, but in the order John saw these things. And that's actually what the scriptures say. So when we are at the seals, when we get to the sixth seal, this is what we believe in the post-trib, pre-wrath world. At the sixth seal, the sun is darkened, the moon is turned to blood, and then all of a sudden, the people of the earth are saying, "Hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb, for the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now, a pre-tribber reads that and is like, well, that proves all the seals were God's wrath. That's what you would say. We would say, no, they're saying that when they, after they see him, after the sixth seal, that's them saying his wrath is here. It's come. And we are about to deal with it. And they are afraid as a result of that. So after the seals, we have the rapture. That is what we believe. And then after the rapture, you have the trumpets. But again, I am in the camp that would put those as the wrath of God. So you say, well, why do you say post-trib? You know, why don't you say mid-trib? Well, here's exactly why. And this is what you don't realize. Now, this is indisputable. Okay, this isn't even up for debate. This is just a fact. But if you are pre-trib and you believe in a, let's write this out, and you believe in a 3.5-year tribulation, and if you believe in a 3.5-year great tribulation, you didn't get that from reading your Bible. You got that from Larkin's charts. Now, you think you got it from reading your Bible, but I'm going to prove to you you didn't, because you will put the seals, trumpets, vials, Armageddon, you put all of it in the tribulation and the great tribulation. If you're like Larkin, you would put the seals and the trumpets in the tribulation and the vials and Armageddon in the great tribulation. Okay? And I'm going to prove to you that you didn't get that from reading your Bible. Because look at what we see in Matthew 24. That's where the term tribulation comes from when associated with these end time events. And in verse 15, it says, "When ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet." And so what everybody does is they put the abomination, we'll put it A-O-D, the abomination of desolation, in the middle of the 7 years. Everybody does that. And it says, "When ye see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place, whoso readeth, let him understand." We'll jump down to verse 21, and it says, "For then shall be great tribulation." Now, that's where we finally see the word tribulation. We don't even see it in the wars, famines, pestilence, and all that kind of stuff. We see that word tribulation used after the abomination of desolation. And it says, "Then shall be great tribulation." So theologians have made a distinction between the tribulation in the first half and the great tribulation in the second half. Okay? Here's the problem with that. If we go to verse 30 or verse 29, notice it says immediately after the tribulation of those days. Okay? So it brought up the abomination of desolation, and then it said, "Then there will be great tribulation such as there never was." And then Jesus said, "After the tribulation of those days." What days? The days after the abomination of desolation, "The sun will be turned to darkness, and the moon will not give her light, and the powers of the heaven shall be shaken, and then shall appear the sign of the Son of Man." So again, and I get it, in the pre-trib world, most of you do not believe the rapture is in Matthew 24. We do. Okay? I'm not really talking about that right now. I'm just showing you that this appearing of Jesus Christ takes place after the sun is dark and the moon is turned to blood, which is in the seals. That is the sixth seal when that takes place. And the sixth seal takes place after the tribulation, after the great tribulation. So you cannot possibly make the great tribulation and pretend you're being biblical in that use of the word be something that goes all the way to Armageddon when Jesus only used that word in referring to the events leading up to the sixth seal. That is indisputable. That is exactly what we see here. We can argue about whether or not that's our rapture in Matthew 24, and I'm ready to have that argument with you. Right now, I'm just showing you your use of the word tribulation does not line up with Jesus' use of the word tribulation. In Matthew 24, Jesus said, "After the tribulation of those days, the sun will be turned to darkness." We believe that's the sixth seal, and we believe we're going up then. So that, yes, we are post-trib in the biblical sense. In other words, we are post-sixth seal rapture people. And so again, many of you, where you put that in the 7 years, I don't know, it really doesn't matter. But when Jesus used that term, great tribulation, it was referring to something that happened after the sun was darkened and moon turned to blood. And so therefore, we are, in fact, post-trib, but we'll add in the term pre-wrath so as not to confuse you all. Because then, again, what you all do in the pre-trib world, you go to the verses, "We've not been appointed under wrath." But for you, that's all of that. But for us, the seals are not God's wrath. The trumpets and the vials are God's wrath. That is what we actually believe. And I believe our use of these words is more consistent. Okay, now, As I said before, trumpets are not explicitly referred to as God's wrath. Okay, but here is the position of many in the pre-wrath world, and this is my position as well. We believe that the trumpets and vials happen simultaneously. Now, Larkin and most pre-tribbers, they believe the trumpets happen and then the vials happen. We believe they happen simultaneously. And now, this is also important that you understand this. Okay? And we can debate some of the specifics of these things some other times. I'm just telling you what the position is. Okay, but many pre-tribbers, they read the book of Revelation in more of a chronological way. You see the rapture in chapter 4, you got the seals in chapter 6, you got the trumpets, in chapter 7, 8, 9, and then you've got some of those tough symbolic passages. I don't know where pre-tribbers necessarily put all those things, but then we have the vials after that, and then Armageddon after that. Now, in the post-trib world, we read chapters 1 through 11 for the most part chronologically, and then we, in chapter 12, we've got the vision of the woman who gives birth to the child Jesus Christ, and we're back in the first century. We believe we go back in time, and then the story is told again, but obviously we're receiving another layer to the same story. Again, these events are not, the book of Revelation is not written in the order that the events will happen chronologically. It's written in the event, or in the order of how John saw these different things. And John can't see everything at one time. And so we see things written out in one way, and then it kind of starts over again. We see it written out another way. So in the post-trib world, we believe the rapture happens in chapter 7, where you have a multitude appear before the throne that no man could number. I know you all think that's tribulation saints. We believe that's a rapture. But then you might hear us also say, we believe that's the rapture in chapter 14, where we have the two angels, one gathering of people to God, and another gathering of people to cast into the winepress of the wrath of God. And we would say that that also is the rapture. So that's not us being inconsistent or anything like that. No, that's just because that's how we lay out the book of Revelation. It's kind of telling the story twice. That's how we would interpret that. So that's why, too, you've got the trumpets that are in the first half of the book of Revelation, and then you have the vials that are in the second half. Now, I'm not going to take time to go through and show you this, otherwise this would be a long video, but if you go to Revelation chapter 8 and you look at each of the seals, or not the seals, the trumpets, and what is targeted, you will see in the vials it's the same thing. Those first four trumpets, what they target, we see also targeted in the first four vials. And then with the trumpets, you have the three woes, which are the final three trumpets, that ultimately is preparing the world to the battle, to bring them to the battle of the great day of God Almighty that the pre-tribbers would refer to as Armageddon. I don't think that's the best term, but for sake of argument today, that's what we'll call it, okay? And so, we see the same thing too with the vials. The vials end the same way. The vials end right here. So, again, while we might have a different timeline with the trumpets and vials, we are with the pre-tribbers that we are not here for the trumpets and vials. So maybe that makes you feel a little better. The problem is, we do believe we're here for the mark of the beast. Okay, and so even though we believe we get raptured in chapter 7, the mark of the beast is in chapter 13. But remember, the story has started over. So we believe we are back in the tribulation period. And remember, in the seals, when we get to the fifth seal, and there's the souls are saying, how long dost thou not judge? The souls, because they don't have their bodies yet, because the resurrection hasn't happened yet. And it's mentioned that they need to wait for a little season, because there's more coming. There's more martyrs that are on their way, and we believe that's because the Antichrist is going to make war with the saints. And that is something that we will be here for. So in the post-trib pre-wrath world, they would agree with the pre-tribbers in the 1260-day tribulation. They categorize, like Larkin, the first half as tribulation. But here's where we're different than the pre-tribbers. where the pre-tribbers would have another 3.5 year great tribulation, the pre-wrathers only have a 75-day great tribulation. And so that's why, again, pre-tribbers are like, well, then you guys are mid-trib. But I already showed you, according to Matthew 24, the sun is darkened and moon turned to blood after the tribulation. So I'm sorry, we cannot use the word tribulation the way you do. It doesn't fit with the way Jesus used it. And so you can call us mid-tribbers all you want. You're revealing your ignorance. And we will win that argument. We will win that debate every time because Jesus did not use the word tribulation the way you do. You see the word tribulation and you've defined that as God's wrath, but the rest of the Bible does not fit that. Most of the time when we see the word tribulation in the Bible, it's believers going through it. Because tribulation and wrath are not the same thing, and that's one of the biggest things that's hard for pre-tribbers to overcome. It was a tough thing for me. I was so brainwashed with tribulation and wrath being the same thing, and it took me a while before it finally got through my head that, wait a minute, tribulation and wrath are not the same thing. They absolutely are not the same thing. And so, after the tribulation, that's when we go up after the sixth seal. And so you say, well, where do you get that 75 days from? While it's not the strongest thing in the world, it's more of I think it's a good theory. It's one I won't fight people over, but at the same time, it's a good theory, and that comes from Daniel 12, when it references, blessed is he that waiteth and cometh to the 1335 days. And I'm not going to do a long explanation of that. I'm here today to just tell you that's the pre-wrath position. They would start the 1335 days at the beginning of the tribulation, and then it would go 75 days past the abomination of desolation, which I believe finds its fulfillment when the Antichrist declares himself to be God in a temple in Jerusalem. And then he's going to demand that everyone worship him. That's when the mark of the beast is going to be implemented. And I believe that many believers are going to die during that time. And that will be that time of great tribulation. But after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon shall not give her light. And that's when we're going up. And that is the great tribulation. The trumpets and vials, that is God's wrath. We are not here for that. Now, I do believe that that happens within the seven-year time frame. But I would not define that as tribulation, because tribulation and wrath are not the same thing. They are two completely different things, and I think that is easy to prove in the Scriptures. In fact, I don't think there's even any question that that is the case. And so then after the trumpets and vials, you've got Armageddon that's going to come, and then, you know, we're coming back with Jesus on a white horse. So that's the way all of that works, and hopefully that makes sense to you. Hopefully that's clear. And in reality, it is. It's not the biggest deal in the world, even though we make a really big deal about it. Because here's the part that's tough for pre-tribbers, is pre-tribbers, you know, they are very stuck on imminency. And listen, I get it. That is a tough doctrine to give up. I remember I was there at one time, but you know, what is your main verse? No man knows the day or the hour. Well, guess where that is? That's in Matthew 24, where most pre-tribbers, not all, but most pre-tribbers now are saying that has nothing to do with the rapture. Well, then that means then that verse can have nothing to do with imminency. Yet that's your main verse. That was my main verse. You know, when I started studying this, that was my main verse for an imminent rapture. And again, we like the idea that we could go today. And we like the idea we're going to be out of here before things get really bad. But that's not what the Scriptures teach. The Scriptures give a lot of warnings, there's a lot of preparing people for tribulation, for difficult times. I mean, we've been commanded to endure hardness as a good soldier. Yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Jesus told the disciples, in the world ye shall have tribulation. So that's not the tribulation. Well, again, the tribulation as you define it is completely foreign with how Jesus used the word tribulation. And we're the ones using the word tribulation consistently in the Scripture, and we're using it the way Jesus did. You are not. So as post-trib believers, we believe that we're going out roughly 1,335 days, you know, roughly halfway through the final 7 years. Not through the tribulation, through the final 7 years. That's what we actually believe. We do not believe we are here for the trumpets and the vials. And so hopefully that gives you a better understanding of the post-trib, pre-wrath position. And if you want to disagree with it, that's fine. But you know what? Accurately represent it. Don't call us mid-tribbers unless you are prepared to prove that all of the 7 years is the tribulation, unless you are able to prove that when Jesus spoke of the tribulation, he was referring to all the 7 years, and you got to get around the fact that Jesus said after the tribulation, the sun will be turned to darkness, the moon turned to blood. That's the sixth seal. That's in the seals. That's way back here on your timeline. What are you going to do about that? Here's another thing you've got to understand too. If you are pre-trib, and if the seals are God's wrath, you have God's wrath falling before the day of the Lord. Go look up every passage referring to the day of the Lord, and the day of the Lord is always associated with God's wrath. And the Bible says the sun will be turned into darkness and the moon to blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. I do not believe God is going to pour out his wrath before the day of the Lord, which is why I do not believe the day of the Lord comes until the sixth seal, after the sun is darkened and moon turned to blood, and the people say the great day of his wrath has come. And then everything I see after that, yeah, the trumpets, they're not explicitly called God's wrath, but they sure look like it, because they look a lot like the vials that, interestingly enough, are referred to as being, those are explicitly referred to as the wrath of God. It's, in fact, let me show you a couple verses in here about the wrath of God. In Revelation 14, in verse 9, it says, "And the third angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, If any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. He shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and the presence of the Lamb." Notice, whoever takes the mark, the wrath of God will be poured out on them. Which makes it sound like God hasn't poured his wrath out yet. It sounds like the wrath of God is something that is poured out. And in chapter 15, I saw another sign in heaven, great and marvelous, seven angels having the seven last plagues, for in them is filled up the wrath of God. And what do we see? We have seven angels with seven vials, and in them is filled up the wrath of God. And what do? They pour it out. That for sure is the wrath of God. There's no doubt the vials are the wrath of God. We are assuming the trumpets are the wrath of God because they kind of look at like it and they line up with the vials, but these are not explicitly referred to as the wrath of God. And let me tell you something, the seals for sure are never referred to as the wrath of God, and they don't even look like the wrath of God. It looks like stuff that we've been dealing with forever, just at a heightened level. So that is how we use these terms, and that is how we got the position or the title post-trib, pre-wrath. We could just say post-trib, but it would confuse pre-tribbers too bad, because then they're going to hear post-Armageddon. So we throw in the pre-wrath to kind of get them to say, huh? Wait, what do you mean by that? Because your main two verses for why we are not here for the tribulation is because you say, we've not been appointed unto wrath, but to obtain salvation. And in your dispensational world, in your Clarence Larkin influence world, all of that is God's wrath. But that's not how the Scripture describes these things. The Scriptures only describes that explicitly as God's wrath, and that appears to be God's wrath. That specifically says it's not, because of the soul saying, "How long dost thou not judge?" at the fifth seal. So anyway, I appreciate everybody watching this. I hope it was informative. I know it was. I did not go in depth proving our position or debunking the other position, but hopefully you now understand what that means. And I look forward to the pre-tribbers and debunking this. And I just want to see one thing: an accurate representation. We might not agree with the come to the same conclusions with what the Bible teaches, but we should be able to be honest about other people's positions, and that is very difficult to find from the pre-trib world. And so I'm going to assume it's because most of you are maybe just confused, unaware what we actually believe. And so hopefully this will help you that way too. As you attempt to prove the pre-trib, you can at least appear honest and sincere and not just be out there killing straw men. So thank you for watching this. I hope it was a helpful blessing. God bless.